Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narchery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Death of a Thousand Cuts, The Impact of Emotional Abuse, A Guide to Clarity and Healing by Patrick Doyle is a self-help and recovery guide centered on emotional and spiritual abuse and the gradual way it can erode a person's sense of worth, framing abuse as cumulative harm rather than a single obvious event. The book aims to help readers name what has been happening to them, understand why it is so disorienting, and begin rebuilding stability after leaving or while disentangling from toxic dynamics. Drawing on Doyle's background as a counselor and his personal familiarity with the effects of abuse, it offers trauma-informed, practical direction rather than abstract theory. The structure emphasizes stages of recovery that include clarity, acceptance, hope, trust, and healing, guiding readers toward healthier relationships with themselves and others. Overall, the book's purpose is to reduce confusion and self-doubt, strengthen personal boundaries, and support readers in reclaiming intrinsic value and agency. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, recognizing emotional and spiritual abuse as cumulative harm. A central contribution of the book is its framing of emotional and spiritual abuse as a pattern of repeated injuries that can feel small in isolation but become devastating over time. By using the image of a thousand cuts, Doyle emphasizes that harm is not measured only by dramatic incidents. It is also measured by persistent invalidation, manipulation, intimidation, coercive control, and the slow reshaping of a person's reality and self-perception. This lens is especially important for survivors who struggle to justify their pain, because there may be no visible bruises or clear external proof. The book focuses on helping readers identify both overt and covert behaviors, including those that look socially acceptable on the outside or hide behind reputation, charm, or moral language. In the spiritual abuse context, it highlights how beliefs or authority can be misused to pressure compliance, induce shame, or silence questions. By giving readers language for what they are experiencing, the book supports a key early step in recovery, moving from vague unease to accurate recognition, which reduces confusion and helps a person begin making grounded choices. Secondly, clarity as a turning point and navigational information. The book places unusual weight on clarity, describing it not only as insight, but as a practical tool that guides action. Doyle highlights that many people experience moments of truth when something suddenly feels unmistakably wrong, even if they have previously rationalized or minimized it. Rather than treating these moments as fleeting emotions, the book encourages readers to treat them as credible data about what is happening and what it is doing to them. This approach is designed to counter the mental fog that often accompanies emotional abuse, where mixed messages, blame shifting, and denial can train a person to distrust their own perceptions. The emphasis on clarity is also connected to stress reduction and decreased reactivity. As a person becomes clearer about their value and what is unacceptable, they are less likely to be pulled into circular arguments, guilt-based compliance, or frantic attempts to prove their goodness. In this way, clarity becomes a stabilizing anchor. It helps readers assess relationships more accurately, recognize patterns sooner, and make decisions that prioritize safety, dignity, and long-term healing. Thirdly, acceptance and naming reality without self-blame. After recognition comes the harder work of acceptance. And the book treats acceptance as an active stance rather than passive resignation. Emotional and spiritual abuse often creates an exhausting loop. The survivor keeps trying different strategies, hoping that better communication, greater patience, or increased sacrifice will finally produce respect and reciprocity. Doyle's framework encourages readers to stop negotiating with denial and instead acknowledge what is real, including the limits of their control. Acceptance in this context is closely tied to releasing self-blame. Survivors commonly internalize the idea that their pain proves they are too sensitive, too demanding, or spiritually deficient. The book seeks to interrupt that internalized narrative by emphasizing intrinsic value and by differentiating responsibility from guilt. A person can take responsibility for boundaries, choices, and healing without accepting responsibility for another person's manipulation or cruelty. This topic supports a major recovery milestone, no longer organizing life around earning safety from someone who repeatedly harms. By naming reality, readers can conserve emotional energy, reduce rumination, and begin focusing on what they can build going forward. Fourthly, rebuilding trust in yourself and setting protective boundaries. A frequent consequence of emotional abuse is self-distrust. When someone has been repeatedly told they are wrong, selfish, or unstable, it becomes difficult to trust instincts, preferences, and even basic perceptions. The book addresses this by guiding readers toward trusting themselves again, a process that includes learning how healthy relationships operate and how unhealthy ones often escalate. Boundary setting is presented as a practical expression of self-respect, rather than an act of aggression or revenge. In emotionally or spiritually coercive environments, boundaries are often framed as betrayal, lack of forgiveness, or lack of love. Doyle's recovery-oriented perspective reframes boundaries as necessary for emotional safety and for honest connection. This topic also connects to reduced vulnerability to future abuse. When a person is clearer about what they will and will not tolerate, they are less likely to be manipulated by shame, fear, or obligation. The emphasis is not on becoming hardened, but on becoming grounded. The outcome is greater agency, the ability to make decisions aligned with personal dignity, values, and long-term well-being. Lastly, hope and healing as a staged. Compassionate process. The book does not treat healing as a single breakthrough, but as a staged process that includes hope, trust, and ongoing repair. For many survivors, hope can feel risky because hope has previously been used against them, keeping them invested in promises that never materialized. Doyle distinguishes a more realistic hope grounded in truth and in practical steps rather than wishful thinking. This is paired with a compassionate tone that acknowledges how intense and destabilizing recovery can be, especially when a survivor is grieving lost years, lost identity, or the collapse of a trusted spiritual or relational framework. By organizing the journey through themes such as clarity, acceptance, hope, trust, and healing, the book gives readers a map that normalizes setbacks and encourages steadiness over perfection. Healing here includes reclaiming intrinsic value and learning how to build healthier relationships moving forward. The emphasis on practical strategies supports readers who want concrete direction, while the trauma-informed orientation supports those who need permission to move at a humane pace. The overall message is that wholeness is possible and that it is built through repeated, reality-based choices. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who suspect they have experienced emotional or spiritual abuse, feel confused about what happened, or are trying to rebuild a stable sense of self after a toxic relationship. It can also benefit counselors, pastors, and caregivers who want a clearer survivor-centered understanding of how subtle coercion and chronic invalidation damage self-worth. Practically, the book offers a roadmap that helps readers move from naming abuse to reclaiming agency through clarity, acceptance, boundaries, and renewed self-trust. Intellectually, it reinforces an important idea in the abuse recovery space: harm is often cumulative, and the absence of dramatic incidents does not mean the absence of trauma. What helps the book stand out in a crowded category is its consistent emphasis on clarity as actionable guidance and its explicit attention to spiritual abuse alongside emotional abuse. Many recovery books focus on recognizing narcissistic traits or on general relationship skills. Doyle's approach, as presented publicly, is organized around a staged pathway that prioritizes intrinsic value and reduces reactivity and confusion, which are common barriers to leaving and healing. For readers who want compassionate direction without minimizing the seriousness of what they endured, Death of a Thousand Cuts positions itself as both a validating mirror and a practical guide toward healthier relationships. If you would like to support Patrick Doyle, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.